Thank you, team. Zachary prepared that. He arranged that especially for today. Take your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Passage we're going to look at tonight, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, was our theme verse a number of years ago. And as I was praying over what to preach this evening, Monday was the 11th. Yes, Monday was the 11th, and I was going through my quiet time, and the Lord just pressed upon my heart to preach from this verse this evening. It was the theme that preparing the graphics for began James and Cindy's courting relationship. James was the creative director, Cindy the photographer, and I was the chaperone, and because James took off to Hungary for a family trip, I was also doing the graphics for it. So it was no coincidence that as I was praying over what to preach, the Lord brought this to my attention. I'd like to preach a message entitled Dead Fruit. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. God says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you take your word this evening, minister to it to our hearts, Lord, we pray. In many ways, today's been a big day for us, Lord, and yet you want to speak to our hearts through your word. Help us to turn our attention to what you have to say to us this evening. We pray that you'd bless as we preach this evening. And Lord, we pray your special blessing again upon this dear family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to take most of our attention to the first phrase of this passage. The first phrase referring to the fruit of the righteous. And I'd like to look particularly about the implication of what this means in our lives. The first thing we notice there in verse 30 is that righteous people produce fruit. Truly righteous people will produce fruit. The fruit of the righteous implies that righteous people have fruit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. There are so many people in our day that think that what they do is righteous. No doubt the Pope this past week has convinced himself that in the ceremonies and rituals and so forth that have gone on this past week, that he is a righteous man because of what has taken place in this past week. So many, and not only him, at the other end of the scale in the Catholic Church, for example, so many people going through the motions of religion, going through the motions of ceremony, are convincing themselves that what they are doing is righteousness. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And because of that, we can look at the fruit of an individual's life and backpedal and see, now what, we analyze the fruit and we can see what comes from their life. If it's a tree of life, they are righteous. If what comes out of a person's life, the fruit of their life is not a tree of life, and we'll look at that phrase in a minute. But if what is produced is not a tree of life, that person's life is not a righteous life. They are not a righteous individual. Fruit, let's look firstly at fruit though. Fruit is an integral part of creation. On day number three, when God created the plant life, in Genesis 1 verse 11, he said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." God created the seed with seed producing plants, fruit with fruit trees, and they would produce after their kind. And God's creation has existed for every generation since then because of that fact. Because God created the seed, because God created fruit, his creation has reproduced itself from generation to generation. You and I can walk into a wilderness area some 6,000 years after God created it, and we can see it for two reasons. One, because those trees have produced after their kind, and secondly, because our ancestors produced after their kind as well. You and I can see these things. Fruit is inherently important in God's creation. But fruit is also a very funny thing. Because there are some fruit that humans and mammals fight to get to first because it is so enjoyable. Those mangoes at lunch today at the lunchtime, many people made a beeline for the mangoes because, well, let's face it, it's one of the best fruits. And fruits such as that, animals and humans are in competition over. But then we get the seed, and we toss it in the compost bin, and lo and behold, there's an avocado tree growing out of the compost, or whatever seed has been thrown to the side. There's other fruits that are less desirable, that just the birds will eat. They're the only ones that will bother to get it. Some with beaks that are specific to get into the fruit. Others that just, you wouldn't bother. They're just not nice for us. But for some reason the birds like them. But God created those fruits for those plants because, well, they needed aerial planting. They needed to be broadcast over an area as it passes through the system of these birds. And then there's the other fruit, the fruit that nothing likes to eat. And it will just drop to the ground. And the flesh, because we're talking about fruit, not seeds, the flesh of that fruit will just decompose into the ground. And the seeds left lying there waiting. But in all of these cases, whether it has passed through some kind of a digestive tract or whether it has just fallen to the ground, each of those seeds that comes from the fruit must die. Once that seed can die, it can produce life. That seed must die first. For example, if I was to come along to your place and I noticed a weed growing in the garden bed, or more importantly, you came to my house and you noticed a weed growing in my garden bed and I was to pluck it, that seed that produced that weed, glory to God, died in vain because I just plucked it up, and now it's, what was the point of that seed? It died to produce that plant that you and I don't want in our garden bed, and we just pick it out, and it died in vain, but it died. Other plants, we want them. And we might plant hundreds of them, and they all die. But the seed must die to produce life in a plant. The seed must die. Now, look at John chapter 12, please. So we pick a weed before it gets too big, and that weed is finished. The seed that produced that weed died in vain. But here in the book of John, chapter 12, look with me in verse 24. Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." The principle of the fruit falling to the ground or passing through a system and then getting to the ground, until that point, it's alive. There's life there. But once it strikes its root, once it strikes its shoot, that seed is now dead. Horticulturally speaking, it cannot do that ever again. Once. God said, just like that seed, if it falls to the ground and dies, so too you, Christian, so too me. He that loveth his life shall lose it. The seed that tries to stay alive will never produce life. The seed that sits there, never striking its root, never striking its shoot, that seed will never produce life, though it in itself is still alive, but it hasn't reproduced itself. God says, Christian, he that hateth his life, not hateth in some kind of fleshly, suicidal way. But he that hateth his life in this world doesn't consider the flesh and what we want for our life, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Will reproduce itself in the life of others. Sacrifice. When you and I are willing to extend ourselves beyond ourselves in the Spirit's control, our life must be death for others to live. And each of these missionaries and these new missionary family who had their board added to the back wall this morning, did you notice? This new missionary family, each of them, it requires sacrifice for others to hear the gospel. Sacrifice of their lives, of their desires, of their former plans, for others to hear the gospel of Christ, that they might be saved. And it requires sacrifice in the life of those that remain behind, to keep them on the mission field. If you're familiar with James's story God was confirming his call to Cairns in convincing him to stop looking for secular work because God wasn't in that anymore. But for him to go to Cairns and take up a secular job so that he can support himself in the ministry full time, do you see what I'm saying? That's ridiculous in this particular case, because his calling to Cairns was closely attached to James, my son, stop looking for secular work. I'm not in that. I want you full time in the ministry. But if he was to go and pastor the church in Cairns and be working part time, something's out of balance there, isn't it? It takes sacrifice from those that stay behind to support them to go. And not these only. Every missionary that is truly called of God should be supported for the work God has called them to. Our life must be death. Our life must be a life of sacrifice. And beyond missions, just our service in the local church, giving of ourselves, imparting our life in the lives of others, that God can do a work in their heart and they can grow spiritually. Sacrifice and death, dead fruit, is inherent in God's plan for every individual in the local church. The people that we saw on the slides tonight, they all have needs. Just like you all have needs. Just like I have needs. Many of us have very specific physical needs. But all of us have very specific spiritual needs. Needs that God's trying to do a work in our hearts. And part of that, God breaks through spiritual leadership. Through a pastor. And that church has been without a pastor. But those people have remained faithful to their church. And the Lord will bless them. The work of God in their life will require sacrifice. Sacrifice in their life. Sacrifice of the flesh in their own lives. And you and I, in ministering one to another, we may want to achieve in the arm of the flesh. We might want to achieve through our own abilities and strengths, so called. But it's a spiritual work that God needs to do. The Spirit of God must have hold on our lives. Except we die, we can't reproduce spiritual fruit. It requires sacrifice. Truly spiritual people produce a particular kind of fruit. And that kind of fruit is much better than a rotten mango under a tree. I remember in Vanuatu, that was a long time ago. I was going to say how long ago it was. It's a long time ago. We were there on a trip and there were so many mangoes. They were just rotting under the trees. Enough to make a Sydneysider weep. We were driving along in the back of the truck and ducking the branches and grabbing the mangoes as we're going through. And there's so many mangoes that we cut them up carefully and we scrape them and, you know, whatever, sit in the bathtub, but whatever we do, so we don't miss a drop of juice and an ounce of flesh. There, they just rip the top off and so much flesh goes with the skin. But there's so many more. We joked about them. They could support the ministry there purely on mango exports, just by picking up what's on the ground. But you see, those mangoes won't produce new life except they die. They can't hang around all year waiting for someone to come and pick them. If no one comes along and takes them, they must fall to the ground. The flesh rot for them to produce life. But we're talking about something far better than that in the life of a Christian. Far more beautiful as well. A particular variety. Back in our text, Proverbs chapter 11, this particular variety of fruit that we're talking about is the tree of life variety. Now, what is this tree of life variety? Well, we read of the tree of life in a number of places in the Bible. There is the eternal tree of life referred to in Genesis and Revelation. And other than that, all the other references to the tree of life we find here in Proverbs. So the first example of the tree of life is the one here in our passage. This kind of tree of life is righteousness's fruit. So we don't learn too much more about it than what we've already said. Go to chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, in the context of this passage, is wisdom personified. And we come to verse 18, Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom, or she, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom is a tree of life. So wisdom is a tree of life. The tree of life is the fruit of the righteous individual. Thirdly, chapter 13, Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. That's in reference to when you have wanted something for a very long time, and it finally comes to pass. The Bible says that is a tree of life. The final reference to the tree of life is just over in chapter 15. So wisdom, the righteous person's fruit, something that you've wanted for ever so long. And chapter 15, Proverbs 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And so what we see in these four passages referring to the tree of life is the tree of life is referring to something that is it ministers. It's beneficial to the individual. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. The tree of life is referring to some kind of vitality. It's picking us up. Something that we've really wanted for ever so long. And it finally comes. God's answered that prayer. And that just ministers to our soul. It picks us up. It's a tree of life. Wisdom, true godly wisdom in your life, when we have that, it's such a comfort, it's such a wonderful thing. And a nice tongue, a moral, healthy speech, that is a tree of life. These verses are referring to something that is benefiting everybody that's around this person and themselves indeed. It's life-giving. It might go to the extent of having influence and oozing enthusiasm into the life of those around them because they are a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If you're a righteous individual, you'll produce fruit. But that fruit will benefit everybody around you and minister to your soul as well. It's a particular kind of fruit. And we might testify of the Harringtons to their enthusiasm, their servant's heart. We might think of they are eternally minded. That is a tree of life. That church there in Cairns is getting a couple to lead them, to minister to them spiritually. And that couple is a tree of life. And that is something that we should all have in our hearts. That should be our lives. If it's not, we are not righteous. We are not righteous. Because that is the fruit of a righteous person's life. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of the Bible principle that you reap what you sow. And I'm excited for that church family, because you will reap what you've sown here. And that's encouraging to me. Let's go back to chapter 11. Technically, the second phrase, he that winneth souls is wise. Technically speaking, the Jews weren't really encouraged and ordered by God to be soul winners. We take this verse and we correctly apply it to soul winning, being a witness for Christ, telling others about the gospel. I think technically the literal sense of this verse, he that winneth souls is wise, is not to do literally with soul winning. Though that's the New Testament over the top. I hope I'm not overstretching the friendship there, Pastor. But they, referring to if you win somebody to you, befriending, ministering, being a tree of life, having fruit that is impacting others. That's wise. Ministering to others. But the New Testament is very clear. He that winneth souls is wise. In the New Testament sense. If you're not a soul winner, if you're not telling people that there's a literal hell and that they are on their way there, if they don't place their faith in Christ, you're not wise. And so we are correct to apply that phrase that way. And these two are soul winners. Before they were married, individually, oblivious to each other, they were soul winners. And that didn't change when they were married. And that won't change now they're a pastor and wife leading a church there in Cairns. He that winneth souls is wise. And really, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life? Really, soul winning is one of those tree of life things. It in itself is the fruit of the righteous. There is wisdom in telling others about Christ, because you are imparting to them new life when they call on Christ for salvation. The seed must die. The fruit must fall to the ground and die, perish. There must be sacrifice for new life to come. Christian, is there fruit of that kind in your life? Is there sacrifice death to self. Is the fruit that is evident in your life, fruit that impacts and imparts life to those around you? Dead fruit. We need to be dead fruit for the cause of Christ. Pastor, thank you.